May 4th, 2019. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, where the sun is shining. Last Saturday, we had snow. I am glad that you have joined me today at republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. If you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, just email comment at Spingola.email. I invite you to visit our Spingola Speaks chat room at Spingola.chatango.com. If you wish to review the names of the guests that I have had the pleasure of interviewing on this program, just visit Spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left, and pick the year and the month, and you will see the guests with all of their links and all the information that you would need to see what we talked about and relevant links to the subject matter. I also have the names of future guests. And anyway, we're going to take calls in the third hour, but let me introduce our wonderful guests today. They are Michael Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, including Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 through 1947. That book came out in 2010. I have it in hard copy. I first heard about the book from the late, great Michael Collins Piper, who passed away the end of May 2015, 4 years ago. It doesn't seem like that long ago. Anyway, our guest also has written other wonderful books. His latest is Summer 1945, Germany, Japan, and the Harvest of Hate, also a fabulous, fabulous book. And he's written several great books. His website is Thomas Goodrich, and that's the name on his books, Thomas Goodrich. But he likes to be called Mike. His real name is Michael Thomas Goodrich. So anyway, his website is thomasgoodrich.com, and there's a documentary that is available at hellstormdocumentary.com. My other esteemed guest is Paul English, who is the narrator of Hellstorm. His website is hellstormaudiobook.com, and he's going to share a few audio files with us today. And I'm just so grateful to have these two wonderful gentlemen back. They were here in March. And I usually number the documents when I create a new program each week. And they are number 2,300. I thought that was kind of significant. And that's just for this particular program. So, happy to have you both.
My pleasure being here, Deanna, as always. Thank you so much for having us.
And I consider you just a real good friend. We've had some terrific conversations together. And Paul, likewise, I feel like I've known you because of what you've done, what you've accomplished. And I thank you for putting this in a different format, because I think it's really great that you have done that. So thank you both.
That's great. It's almost like a family get-together here, Deanna. I love both you guys so much, and I don't have much of a family anymore, and maybe this is it. But I'm so excited to be back on your program again. And I think way back in 2012, probably, or 11, I'm not sure, you were the very first individual to offer me a platform to talk about the book, Hellstorm. I've never forgotten that. And I know you were. I just can't remember what the date was.
But, I will find it during the breaks. But I know that as soon as Mike mentioned you on his program, that I went looking for you. Mm-hmm. And I bought the book, of course, and then I knew that I had to find you. And some of the best people that I've met have been people, authors such as yourself, people on the internet. And it's just the internet, although it has its negatives, certainly, it has certainly opened up a whole new world for alternative radio and alternative mm-hmm. messages. And so,
you know, something else, what the internet has done almost silently and quietly, it's created, as we're testament today, the three of us together, I've never met you, never met Paul either. And yet we know each other front and back. I think it's like,
absolutely,
having it's like a cyber family. And I mean that in a good sense too, because, we know one another. We love one another. We understand each other. We also recognize the foibles that we may have, the ups and downs, things like that. It's what people, when they meet eye to eye, we experience that ourselves. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great time to be alive, quite honestly.
It is, yes. And life can be joyous despite all of the really negative things that are occurring. Mm-hmm. Friends bring joy, and certainly you have brought joy into my life. And Paul, thank you so much for what you've done. It's terrific.
It's nice to be back. It's nice to be back. You do know I call him Mr. Goodrich, don't you?
Well, that's...
I got so confused when I first... They said, I'm this. I said, I don't know what's going on, Mr. Goodrich.
Is it Tom? Is it Mike? Is it Mr. Goodrich? Is it Sir? Is it Your
like
Honor?
Yeah, sir's okay. That's good. You might get one of those.
Well, I prefer Sir, by the way.
Yeah, Sir's so good.
Just call me Sir Mike.
Sir Mike. Okay.
But, you know, Paul, he acts diffident, and he acts... Oh, shucks, sometimes like that. But Paul is one of the most incredible talents I've ever had the fortune of meeting. I thought this for years. I thought the only ingredient missing from my book, Hellstorm, was a voice. To give a voice, actual voice, to the voiceless victims of the world's worst war. And that's the dedication in the book, as you may remember, Deanna, but I've always wanted that voice. And to be quite honest, I never imagined I could find that voice, or the voice find me in this case. But lo and behold, Paul and I got together about a year ago. We had known each other. How would you say that, Paul? We knew of one another. We've talked together, but we weren't tight like we are now. But
the first thing we did was when we were doing that little thing, we maybe mentioned it on the previous show when we were on with you, Deanna, back in March. It was when we did the thing about Dresden, if you remember. You were in Europe at the time, and last February. So not this February, but last February. Mm-hmm. We did the thing about Dresden, and that's when we were talking about Victor Gregg, if you remember, the British guy. He's probably still alive as well. Mm-hmm. And all those sorts of things. So that's, yeah. We didn't release that, don't think, at the time, for very sensible reasons. But then that was the ground, you know, that was kind of breaking the ice a bit. And then when I spoke to you again in the autumn last year, that's when we got this thing rolling. Yeah.
Yeah, I think anybody listening right now can appreciate Paul's talent right off just after hearing him. He's got a wonderful voice, a rich, resonant, passionate, powerful voice. And he puts this all to good use in the narration of the book, the audiobook Hellstorm. Apparently, I wasn't paying attention back when we first met, Paul, about your ability to do this, because we did talk about it. But as I knew from personal experience, having a good voice is one thing. Reading an entire book, narrating a book, is another. Does one have the patience, the time, to do this? Well, I had tried it myself because, as I said, I really did want a narration, the voice for this book, and people had encouraged me to do that, and I gave it a shot. I tried. I spent a day. I was going to go do it and try to do it seriously. I couldn't. I couldn't even do a page and a half. I remember that vividly. It was very frustrating. And here's someone who wrote the book and rewrote the book and knew the book front and back, and yet I could still not do it without committing errors and the breathing thing, as you know, Paul, so well, things like that. So I just gave it up. I gave it up. But
stop breathing.
Stop breathing. Yes,
that's what I do. I stop breathing halfway through it.
Yeah, but in the face. But after listening, I have not listened to the entire narration all the way through. I've heard bits and pieces of it, and I'm satisfied that this is the best possible narration possible for this book. So I'm extremely happy. The audiobook's only been out a couple of weeks now, but already Paul and I are getting some idea about the impact the book is going to make. And by the way, Deanna, and your listeners who have read the book, let me say this. As appreciative I am of those who have bought and read the book and perhaps told others about it, I think that the audiobook has the power to go ever so much further. I would think double and triple the audience. I would imagine that. Well, let's be honest. Reading a book is hard work. You've got to really set your mind to it. You've got to have the time, first and foremost, which most people don't anymore. But you also have to have pretty good eyesight, actually, or very good bifocals. And so that's understood.
I don't wear glasses. I love to read. But I know that there's another whole group of people that would prefer an audio of something. So yes. That they can, people who, when I used to be on the road traveling in my job, I used to have an audio file going on all the time because I felt that just driving was simply a big waste of time. Mm-hmm. I covered 5 states and it would have been just a terrible waste of time, mm-hmm, to just be driving for all that time and not be feeding my mind with something. Mm-hmm. And so this absolutely does provide a venue for people, not just to drive, but people who prefer an audio vision or version of a particular book. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. It does seem, and it is, a waste of time because we sit there dwelling upon this and that. And generally, if you're like me, it's dwelling upon things negative when I'm driving, when I have a lot of time on my hands in airports where I sit and do nothing, absolutely nothing. But this is a way to not only learn a lot about what took place during World War II, but it's also a good way to spend your time. It's a learned experience where you can actually listen to someone else doing the work, that is Paul, mm-hmm, telling you the story and telling it ever so well, too. Paul mentioned the man, and his name was Greg, Paul?
Victor Gregg. Yeah, Victor Gregg.
A famous voice in the UK, but we have one, too, in the U.S., David McCullough, the man who did Ken Burns' Civil War series so
right,
eloquently and so professionally. And but now we've got that also for Hellstorm. I'm happy to say, and I know that's saying a lot, but this is truly what this is all about. It's as good as it can be. And finally, the voiceless victims of the world's worst war finally have not only a voice, but they've got a professional, powerful, passionate voice to tell their stories. And no
and
author could
breathing.
Ask for more.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, no author could ask for more.
Exactly. And the breathing thing is, mm-hmm, you don't think about that, because usually when you're reading a book or listening to a book, who's thinking about what breathing? But yeah, when you're reading, you have to gear your breaths at the right time in the right place. And people are supposed to breathe out of their nose or breathe in through their nose. Mm-hmm. So how do you do all that and keep your mind on what you're talking about and talk about something with such emotion and passion?
Maybe after this first break, Deanna, we can actually play a clip and people can understand why I'm so excited about the audiobook and
Absolutely.
Paul.
Anytime you want to play a clip, you have the schedule of the breaks, and the clips are, well, we're coming up on a break in about 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes, but so you'll just have to time them.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I should mention here also that the narration of the German version of Hellstorm is also in progress now. That's Höllensturm. It's being narrated by a German, and I think he's doing a very good job. I'm not going to say his voice is equivalent to Paul's. I doubt if anybody's is. But nevertheless, our German friends, those listening right now who prefer to hear something in German or read in German, that's going to be available in probably 3 months at the most. It should be done by then and in a package and out there for people to hear. But that's also going on right now. So, yeah, it's just a wonderful way of telling people this awful, terrible story. It's been hidden for the last 70-some years, and now they're going to have it in their grip, and their ears will hear exactly what did happen.
Right. And so many people do not have a clue about the real history of World War II. They consider it the good war. I can't imagine any war when even one person is slaughtered to be good. I'm just totally anti-war completely. And
anybody who would come up with a term, the good war, has to be a perverted soul out there, quite honestly.
A psychopath.
Yes. A degenerate of some sort. A good war. There's never been such a thing as a good war. There have been things like this, the American Revolution, for instance. It was good in the sense that we gained our freedom, but it wasn't good for the people themselves, the people who died, the people who were crippled. And that's as close as I could ever come to a good war. And that's not even a good war, by the way.
Right.
If we can't work it out by political means or other means, honest means, for God's sakes, let's don't start killing each other to prove a point.
Absolutely.
It seems the United States has been in that business, of course, ever since its beginning, the business of war, the business of aggression. And in fact, this nation lives on war, quite honestly, let's face it. Everything about it's militarized. Everything about this nation right now.
Everything.
Everything.
Entertainment.
Advertisements. Everything. Like video games, nonsense. Before every sports performance, you've got to have the colors brought out by who? Bricklayers, bakers, insurance salesmen? No, by the military. They have to drag out the flag. They have no more a right to do that than, like I said, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
Yes.
But this is America, so that's the reality of it all. But yeah, certainly, of all wars, the last war I would name as good would be World War II. It was the most evil, despicable abomination the Earth has ever witnessed, World War II. And the secret that's kept it hidden for the past 70 years, that's a terrible abomination in itself. So it's just nothing but a horrendous part of world history that we've apparently passed through. We really haven't gotten through it completely yet. It still goes on to this very day.
It does. Absolutely, it does. All righty. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. And, okay, stay with us. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Alrighty, we are back with our guest today. And they are Michael Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of Hellstorm, and Paul English, who is the narrator of that monumental book. And the website for that narration is hellstormaudiobook.com. Mike, we've done over 20 programs together.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No,
that many?
That many, plus our little chats.
Yeah. Well, then there's no mystery there. Is there, Deanna? We know each other pretty well by now.
Yeah, for sure.
And Paul and I, we might as well move in together. We've been talking to each other so much over the last few weeks. Well, we won't do that, will we, Paul?
No, we won't.
Yeah, so
I won't be doing anything like that. I'm British, you know. I don't know that sort of thing.
But yes, it's again, it's back to the internet, and we can become friends, brothers, sisters, without ever shaking hands or looking into each other's eyes. It's a wonderful time to be alive. And I'm going to say this to you also, Deanna. Thank you so very much for having me on so many times. I must have been saying something that you appreciated, or perhaps, I don't know, maybe there's something else there. I don't know what it is, but just thank you for giving me a platform to say the things I do say when I come on your program. I really appreciate that.
Well, we always have wonderful chats, and I'm happy that we've talked that many times. And
we know each other's life pretty well, too.
Yes, we do. We certainly do. Absolutely.
That's the same with Paul and I. Yeah, I ask him sometimes what he's having for supper because he does a lot of cooking. I do a lot of cooking in my home also, so we're kind of like housewives, I guess you'd say, in a way.
It was hamburger tonight, just to keep filling in, okay?
Okay.
I've made dinner also already. I made black bean chili.
Oh.
And I also ate a little bit of it for lunch. Oh, it's so good. I got the recipe out of the All Animals magazine that I take because I love animals and but it's really good. It has fire roasted tomatoes and just all kinds of really neat stuff in it. And I got some nice from the Amish farmer. I got some Italian. Let's see, it's Italian sausage. Mm-hmm. And it just it's so good. Gosh, I wish I could send you some.
I'm making vegetable soup tonight. That's what's on the stove right now. But potatoes, carrots, celery, even some barley in there, and all sorts of vegetables. But when I went to put in a dash or two of basil, I had the wrong opening, and it opened up. So we're going to have basil soup tonight.
Oh, basil is good. It's really good for you.
But it really, it's there's a lot of it in there. I've never had that much, so we'll see what happens with that.
I like your pronunciation. So you have tomatoes, don't you?
And you have tomatoes. I know. It's
we have tomatoes.
British.
You have basil, but we have basil.
Basil. Basil?
We just call it basil, right?
Basil.
And like then the other one that I quite bone? Like is you have, how do you pronounce it? Is it oregano? Is that how you pronounce
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we say oregano.
That's totally wrong. It's
wrong. Yes. Okay. Anyway, I'll be back later.
I have
it's completely wrong. You're absolutely right. It says it's wrong.
It's just plain wrong.
How did we, you know, we're speaking Paul's native tongue, the tongue that was the language that originated in England. How did we bastardize it? How did we?
It's the Irish influence. It's the Irish.
Really?
Oh.
No, seriously. That's my take. We've got some good Irish friends up in London. Mm-hmm. Known them for years, and they are very keen on their trips to America. In fact, I think they've got a pad somewhere in some nice place in South Carolina or North Carolina, somewhere like that. They've got a nice place anyway. And every now and again when they come back, the blend between Irish and American is really distinct. You can really get where a lot of the tonal sounds comes from. So it's a certain area of Ireland, because the Irish accent varies all over the place. Well, Northern Ireland is quite an aggressive sounding accent compared to Southern Ireland, which can be very musical and fluid. And so that's my take on it. Anyway, I often wondered as a young person where the American accent developed from, but I think it's definitely a hefty dose of Irish that's in there.
That may be true, Paul, but the difference between schedule and schedule.
Right.
Who introduced that? Where did that come from? Sounds like somebody really angry with the English language to call it schedule. Or maybe that's the Germanic influence. Maybe we've got so many Germans here and other Scandinavian type of people. You know, I lived in Maine for a couple of years. And there's a town in northern Maine that looks like Calais in France. But the natives pronounce it Calais.
Oh, gosh, that's hard. Yeah. That's hard. Okay, with that, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. Dallas, that's horrible. Oh.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Michael Thomas Goodrich and Paul English, and we're talking about Hellstorm, the death of Nazi Germany, 1944 through 1947, and Paul is the narrator, and we've got a nice stretch of time here, which would be really good for some clips from the book. And to find out all about the book and how you can download it, play it in your car, just visit the website, and that is hellstormaudiobook.com, and scroll down, and all the questions you might have about the audiobook are answered there. Correct?
Yeah. They are. Oh. Would you like me to play a clip?
Please.
Here we go. I'll tell you what it is afterwards. Actually, I don't know which one it is. Chapter 4, this is from. When I went into his office, he held out his hand to me and asked, "Have you had some rest, my dear?" Slightly surprised by the question, I replied, "Yes, mein Führer." "Good. It won't be long before I have some dictation for you." Later, as Traudl wrote, Hitler spoke. "It is not true that I or anyone else in Germany wanted war back in 1939.
It was desired and provoked solely by those international politicians who either come from Jewish stock or are agents of Jewish interests. After all my many offers of disarmament, posterity simply cannot pin any blame for this war on me. After a struggle of 6 long years, which in spite of many setbacks will one day be recorded in our history books as the most glorious and valiant manifestation of the nation's will to live, I cannot abandon this city, which is the German capital. Since we no longer have sufficient military forces to withstand enemy attacks on this city, it is my desire to share the same fate that millions of other Germans have accepted. People and the armed forces have given their all in this long and hard struggle. The sacrifice has been enormous, but my trust has been misused by many people. It was therefore not granted to me to lead the people to victory. The efforts and sacrifices of the German people in this war have been so great that I cannot believe that they have been in vain. At approximately 3:15 p.m., April the 30th, Adolf Hitler retired to his room, placed a pistol to his head, then squeezed the trigger. Beside him, his newlywed wife, Eva, also lay dead. After administering poison to their children, Josef and Magda Goebbels bid farewell to those remaining in the compound, wrote one witness who watched as the couple prepared to leave the bunker for their final act in the courtyard above. Going over to the coat rack in the small room that had served as his study, he donned his hat, his scarf, his long uniform overcoat. Slowly, he drew on his kid gloves, making each finger snug. Then, like a cavalier, he offered his right arm to his wife. They were wordless now. So were we three spectators. Slowly, but steadily, leaning a bit toward each other, they headed up the stairs to the courtyard.
So that was from, that wasn't actually the clip I thought I was going to play. How about that?
Oh, but that is, it is very touching.
Yes, it is.
It is. It is.
I should say this, that I think for roughly 2 weeks, a little less perhaps, but the Battle of Berlin had been going on, in which virtually every man, woman, and child offered something. It just depends whether they were nurses or actually kids fighting, knocking out Russian tanks. But this was a desperate struggle, and it was perhaps our finest hour, quite honestly, in the white world, because no one shirked the responsibility. Everybody understood what was going on. Yes, this was the Alamo of Germany. And Hitler had hoped against hope, of course, had waited to the last moment before he did this. Otherwise, he had been captured and paraded through Moscow and probably put in a cage like an animal, wild animal, had he not killed himself. But there are people who think to this very day that Adolf Hitler and perhaps Eva also escaped by a plane at the last moment and flew, I think, first to Spain and then to Argentina, and where they lived out their life there in Argentina. That's rubbish. That's malarkey. That's BS. Hitler told the people of Germany, it's my duty to stay here at all costs because I'm your leader. I'm the one. You followed me throughout this war, and I'll not leave you at the end of the war. And so Hitler's always been a man of his word. Hitler did not escape in the night in an airplane to Spain and then to Argentina. He stayed there, and he died there. Simple as that. That's what we expect out of a man of a leader of integrity and honor and bravery. But that's a very touching excerpt, Paul, by the way. It's But that's the nature of Hellstorm, isn't it? It's the people themselves doing the talking. It's not me, the author, who holds it together. This is the people themselves telling what it was like, what they saw, what they experienced, what they felt at that moment. And there's a tremendous sense of immediacy when someone else who witnessed this is telling you that story. I don't think history can be put together any better than that, where those who participated are basically the author of the book. They're telling you all about it. I love, whenever I get the rare chance to read a book, I love first-person, personal accounts like that, because quite honestly, a narrator or a author themselves can stick in their bias, their agenda, if you will. And I prefer listening to the people themselves, the good and the bad of it. But no, that was a tremendous reading, Paul.
Indeed.
Well, it's you know, that thing you were saying there, Mr. Goodrich, about the escaping and all these other stories that will continue to pop up. I've no doubt about that. I mean, the question to ask really is who benefits from the promotion of such stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's often the case that the raw simplicity of the situations in history are far more alarming in many ways and far more powerful than any sort of spun up story, nearly always. Mm-hmm. It's the direct nature of the whole thing. You were mentioning earlier, I think before the break, about the good war, and it wasn't a good war and all this kind of stuff, and that people get a little bit lost. I was, somebody sent me a link the other day to a video about 20 minutes long. Been up for about 4 days. It must have had about 110,000 views by now. I don't know how this happens, by the way. This is a mystery to me, but not to those people who are able to do it. However, it's about 20 minutes, and it's about the real story of Adolf Hitler, or so it purports to be. And I didn't know how to respond to it, because I thought, good grief, modern people of today, because it's a sort of, you know, it's a brand new production, are just as easily bamboozled as every idiot before us. The stuff was just packed, from my perspective, with the most comical, obvious nonsense about how this was the most evil man that ever lived. And I'm watching this and I'm going, don't these people, and I'm not sort of, it's not a matter of actually judging these people, although you can't help it, don't they ever get reacquainted with the idea of the question mark and asking questions? They don't ask any. They don't ask one. If you actually stand back and listen to these narratives that come across, there is absolutely no questioning of these things. Oh, no, that's the way it was. Are you sure? Does that really add up? Does that really make sense? It doesn't make sense. And so I would say that that's possibly one of these differences that we're always looking for. Some of us just have this itch that we have to scratch. We're going, that's not quite right.
Yeah.
That doesn't add up.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. And other people go, no, because it's been broadcast for 60, 70 years that it's like this. So it must be that way. I mean, that's the very opposite of that. It's the very opposite of that.
Yeah.
And we're like on different planets. Seriously, it's extremely strange.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm not describing anything new to either of you, but I do feel like that a lot.
But yeah, it's almost as if a few of us have a curiosity gene in our body and the rest don't. Because there's no other explanation as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, there's fear, there's cowardice, there's worries about losing your job, perhaps your family. But still, it's almost as if it doesn't really matter. That is the truth. There is no question mark. It's basically acceptance of, no matter how preposterous a so-called, quote, truth is, it really doesn't matter. They just want to get through this life with as few scrapes as possible. I understand that. I think we all three understand it. Nobody wants to spend a life of constant fighting and constant threat and constant peril all around us. But nevertheless, that's what curiosity is all about. No matter how many times a lie has been told, we still have to find out for ourselves, is this really true? Or does it smell like a lie, and is it a lie? I mean, that's the dilemma we face. But, you know, the good news about that, Paul, is when you do say something that people understand as an obvious truth, then there's something that transforms them, ever so slightly perhaps, but nevertheless they've got that truth stuck in their head and they'll never be the same again. At least they recognize it as the truth. For instance, you're talking about Adolf Hitler. Anybody who reads anything objective about Adolf Hitler cannot come away with that idea that here's an evil man, a terrible man who lived on hate and enjoyed terrorizing the world or trying to take it over. I mean, when you start reading personal accounts, honest, personal, unbiased, objective accounts about Hitler, you have to come up with the other answer. This was really a great, good man all the way through. Yes, war is a terrible thing, and sometimes you're forced to do a few things that are horrible, it seems, at least. But nevertheless, we're talking about an extremely brave man who fought World War I, who did some incredibly brave things, running back and forth errand as a courier. You know, that's one of the most lethal businesses you could possibly do in a war, especially trench warfare, and yet he did it. He volunteered for stuff like that. He fought to the end. He fought from his hospital bed, even after he had been wounded and gassed. I'll bring this up.
I think, you know, in retrospect, if you look at anybody's life, anybody's, you can pick holes in it. No one's perfect.
Right.
You know, no one. And I'm sure Mr. Hitler had his problems. And certain aspects of this little presentation was showing them, but there were other things that were just ludicrously silly that irritate me a lot. You know, there's always this thing that he couldn't paint. Look, I know he's not Rembrandt, but he could, right? It's quite a thing. He was fine. He was, you know, so that didn't happen for him. And I'm not here defending him one way or the other. I don't know every single thing about it, but what we do know, I tend to feel, is when we're being lied to in a big way, and when there is still, I mean, this is amazing when you think about it. Here we are, some 70-odd years since cessation of hostilities, since he disappeared. And yet, there are more articles probably still to this day being generated about him than anything else. They're having to bolt the lies on top every single day, nonstop. It's ridiculous. And I would imagine, you know, obviously there's a great, there's a vested interest in the British establishment maintaining that because they were culpable in terms of what they did. They were. And the whole thing is about the rottenness of these elites, let's call them that. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, they're rotten. And I was looking at, I always like the comments, about 2,000 comments on this video. Most of them are completely ridiculous. But after a couple of days, the proper ones started to come through. And they're good. They're good. It's always nice to see people, you know, start putting the case for Churchill being the greatest, you know, version of human excrement that ever walked the face of the earth, as far as I'm concerned. And it's just, it's incredible. And yeah, it shows you the power of the brainwashing. The problem we have with propaganda is it works. It does work.
On a very large percentage of our people, it does work. It's been proven, time proven. However, you know, Hitler, though, You had a good example about his artwork. People have constantly tried to belittle and besmirch his ability. He was a good sketcher. I'm not going to say, you know, he wasn't a Van Gogh or a Rembrandt, anything like that. But having painted roughly 20 years of my life for a living, I can tell you his stuff would sell. It's that good, his architecture paintings. He also had a dreamier side. But when you watch enough of Adolf Hitler on video, on the film back then, a certain consistency comes out every time I watch something with Adolf Hitler in it, whether it's a speech or whether it's out in the countryside. He had an empathy for virtually everybody he talked to. Mm-hmm. He had an understanding of what they're going through. Have you ever seen Hitler just stop his limousine, his driver, so he can get out by the side of the road and go over and take in his hand a small bouquet that a little peasant girl is holding for him and the smile on his face? Or when someone brings their dog up and pay it. I don't see that in any other politician on earth, by the way. I see a sham and a fraud, depending on how desperately they need to portray themselves as some sort of man of the people. Hitler was doing this without the pretension, without this stage rigging type of approach to things. He just did it because that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And that when you see those things, how can you possibly say that this is a man of evil? You can say all the things that the propagandists told you to say. Well, he killed 6 million Jews, and well, he started World War II, and he slaughtered the Russians and the Ukrainians and people like that, and all the terrible things that that propagandists say he did. You can believe that, or you can ignore what you see and what you know in your heart yourself. And unfortunately, a great percentage of our people do the latter. They, in spite of what they know to be truth, they ignore that because it's safer believing the lie. You can continue with your job and have your family. Nobody's going to come after you. You won't be attacked. That's my only explanation for why we have so many people who do absolutely nothing, who continue with the lies and the propaganda.
Exactly. Well, gentlemen, we have a quick 3-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest. Yes.
Do we have time for another clip, Paul?
We have 3 minutes in this segment.
Okay, that may not make it then. It may be a little more.
But as soon as we come back, we'll have a good 20-minute span or 18-minute span.
Great.
One thing about your books, and you say that you let the people do the talking. Every single paragraph, nearly well, most of them, have references. Mm-hmm. You cite your sources so that people may go to those sources and verify for themselves. You're not making this stuff up. This is firsthand. People are telling you, you're telling us what they said. And before you mentioned men, women, and children, and you have one in chapter 4, talks about, it says, adding even more horror to the scene. Terribly burned and mutilated zoo animals screamed in pain amid the rubble. Now, the Allies purposefully did this on purpose to go after animals, that magnificent tigers and elephants, and this just makes me sick.
Yeah, there was something toward the end of the war called the Targets of Opportunity, in which the Allies informed their aviators to shoot anything that moved in Germany, anything that moved,
yeah.
Buses, trains, barges, boats, people riding their bikes to go get bread, kids in schoolyards, animals in zoos, kill everything that moves. And unfortunately, so many airmen, so many pilots did exactly as they were ordered to, urged to. In other words, it was we're talking some 20-year-old, 20-something-year-old pilots in there, that it's probably an early-day form of a video game type of thing, where it was fun, actually fun. But, yeah, that's... Now, the animals in Berlin may have been killed by the bombardments from cannons, things like that, not particularly pointed out. I don't know that for a fact. But nevertheless, the object was to kill everything that moved in Germany. In other words, destroy Germany utterly. And the animals were part of Germany. In fact, as you know from the book itself, I have accounts of people watching these wonderful birds coming back, these large birds, the storks, coming back from the south in the spring in Germany. That is March, April, May, coming back to build their nests and raise their chicks before they go south again next winter. Of Soviet soldiers actually shooting these birds out of the sky, just having fun shooting them. Or of... the Allies just simply killing cattle because they were German cattle. This war was good. It was not good in so many ways. I mean, we're just naming a few of them here, but yeah, it was the most vicious depravity the Earth has ever seen, in my opinion. World War II.
That says it all. All righty, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back with these two fine gentlemen who should both be knighted.
Regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.